Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. As a singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Mary Timoney has been a hugely influential figure on the indie and alternative rock scenes for over 30 years. Starting with the band Autoclave in 1990, she went on to front the group Helium for much of the 90s, was a member of the supergroup Wild Flag, and the last time she was here, it was with her band X-Hex. But her new album, Untame the Tiger, is a solo record, her first in 17 years. Mary Timoney has brought her band to the studio today to play some of it, beginning with this song called Summer. That is Mary Timoney with her song Summer live here in the studio. And you heard Mary singing and playing the guitar. And Next to her, Betsy Wright singing and playing guitar. Betsy was with Mary last time. Mary, you were here with the band X-Hex.
Yes.
So now we've got Chad Moulter on bass and David Christian behind our drum kit. Anna Wilson's here as well with her pedal steel guitar. We didn't hear it in that song, but we'll hear her in a bit. And Mary, welcome back. It's been...
Thank you.
It's been a few years.
It has.
So, summer, you know, the end of summer as a trope for songwriting. We've heard it so many times because it can literally mean the end of summer, but it also has...
Oh, means this, more. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of metaphorical meaning of things passing.
Yes. It's a love song. It's just about, like, having a big crush on someone and then knowing it's probably going to not last because the situation is weird or whatever.
Right.
And I was realizing, I was realizing the other day, I was like explaining that and I was like, I don't know. Greece was really popular when I was a little kid. So, you know, Summer 11 from Greece. I'm sure ripped it off from that.
this is your first solo record in a very long time. What occasioned... When did you know you were writing a solo record as opposed to, you know, a record
for a band? Well, what happened was the pandemic happened, and I was in a situation
where...
Yes, we all know about that.
Yeah.
And then both of my parents got sick at the same time, and I was caretaking them. So it was a really different and intense time, and all of us were just sitting around, like, doing stuff at home, and I changed tunings and went back to using a tuning I used to use, and most of these songs are, some of them are in that tuning, and I don't know, it just sort of organically happened.
So for you, this record really was about, I mean, both of your parents passed, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there really was a kind of end of a season in your life.
Oh yeah. Most of my time was spent caretaking my parents, really intense. And then it totally changed my relationship to music, because it's like everything was in perspective. Like, when you have to worry if someone's dying, like, in the next 10 minutes, like, you know what I mean? Or if they're going to fall the next day, or, you know, we've all been through these things. It just changes your perspective. So working on music became like a total joy. Like, it always has been, but like all of the things I would worry about before, like, when are we going to record? Like, when is there an advance? Like, what studio? None of that stuff bothered me anymore, because I was making these really intense decisions for my parents. So I became aware of how privileged we are to all be here when we're here, and to, like, you know, make the best of our time. And like all those little problems became like really fun to me. And also the pandemic did this for everyone. You just realize what's important,
right?
You know, and like I realized during the pandemic and during the stuff with my parents how much music means to so many people. And no longer, I think there was a part of my brain always where I thought of it like as, I don't know. There was a part of me that was like, oh, I'm just like irresponsible artist, you know. And I just realized like, no, it's actually like the most important thing that, like, I get given all the time by music that I love. Like, it's my reason for living, and you know what I mean? It's like my biggest joy, and it's such a gift, and I don't know what I would do without my favorite musicians and bands. So that totally changed for me too, where I was just able to like see it as like this really spiritual thing almost.
You know, that a lot of people had that reaction after 9/11.
There was
like a brief like rebound moment where we were all like, what's the point? You know? And then it didn't take long before we realized the whole point is that, you know.
This is it.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, this is the point. Yeah. So, and you were here, so that's must have been intense.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Right.
There's a word that's been eluding me as I've been thinking about some of the themes of this record, and it just popped into my mind, and that is, and I'm hesitant to use a word like wisdom, but there is a wisdom to lines like that in the song you just sang. I want to know what I don't know now. And in the song you're going to do next, No Thirds, there's a very similar line.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying to learn. I keep trying to learn how to do things better. I don't know.
But that is, you know, that is the, I mean, that
that's
is kind of.
No, that is it.
Yeah. What's the point of keeping going if you're not learning anything new?
Exactly. Things that bring us joy. Learning how to do things better. Giving to others. Connecting.
Mm-hmm. Is the echo between those two songs just purely coincidental? Or were you aware of it as you were writing?
Like the lyrics?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess so. Is it coincidence? I don't know. Must have been on my mind.
Yeah, yeah. The song is called No Thirds, and I briefly thought when the album came out, is it possible that she wrote a song without any thirds in it?
Yeah. So that name came from the verses. I was like into this idea that there weren't any thirds. It's all like musically, the musical intervals, the chords don't have
all power chords, no thirds.
Most power chords, fourths. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah. You know, there are at least passing thirds throughout.
Oh, yes,
the
main
riff.
And then I was like, oh, shit, maybe I just dug a hole for myself. But the part with the instrumental part is when the thirds come in, it's like supposed to be like, the thirds are here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, let's hear how the song plays out. It's called No Thirds. It's Mary Timoney and her band live here in the studio. You'll find a version of this on her new record called Untame the Tiger.
Check the situation.
Once again, Mary Timoney and the band live here in the studio with her song No Thirds, a lying title, as it turns out. Plenty of thirds and lots of other stuff in that song from Mary Timoney's new record called Untame the Tiger. And most of the band, Mary, is kind of similar to what's on the record, with the exception of Anna and her pedal steel.
So really awesome thing is that Anna and I did guitar lessons for many years, and we started doing lessons when you were 9, I think, until about 18, so the whole time. And then she went to Berkeley, and now she's a total badass, one of the best country pickers, and incredible on pedal steel. So it's just such an amazing thing for me to get to play with her now.
So to have like a former student who's like at a level where that's great.
She's better than me now, and I learned from her. Awesome. I'm just so happy to be playing with everybody in this band. I feel very lucky.
Yeah. Let me come back to something you said before. Earlier when we were talking, you said that you changed tunings. Mm-hmm. You went back to an older tuning. What mm-hmm. is that?
What is it?
Yeah.
This is drop D, and then I drop the second string down to an A.
Okay.
And I don't, it's not dad gad, though, because that one's not, this highest string is not a D. Leave it as an E.
So it's D-A-D-G-A-E?
You got it.
Dad gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which, I mean, it's not dadgad, which is the famous kind of folk rock modal.
Yes.
But it is still a kind of
a
modal thing.
Yeah, it's got a little of both. Yeah, a little of that. And then I like the high, I like leaving the high E because it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's a second or a 9 or something. I don't know. I used that tuning for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
And then you went off of it for a while?
Yeah. Well, like when Betsy and I play in X-Hex, mm-hmm. it's a whole different thing where we really arranged,
a lot of standard tuning.
Standard tuning. We really arranged the songs so that they don't like work on their own as a guitar song. It's like we need to be playing with each other for them to work, because we're each playing a lot of single lines and power chords and
strummy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is more like a song that might, you know, I don't know, it's just different.
Well, one of the things about the tuning is, you know, it gives you, like the song Looking for the Sun, mm-hmm. the little recurring riff at the end of each line has a little kind of ornament to it that almost reminds me of Near Eastern music.
Oh, cool.
When the darkness was my friend, locked out in the rain again.
Do you know?
Thanks.
You know the one I mean.
I do know what you mean. Yeah, this.
That. Yeah.
Right.
Were you thinking along those lines, or
no? Cool.
It does sound cool.
That's about it.
Okay.
What sounds do we like? That's what the question is.
Right. There are also, to go with the sounds, there are also kind of recurring images on the record,
mm-hmm.
like yin and yang kinds of things. So there's sun and rain.
True.
There's light and dark. There's dreams and reality.
Mm.
And these things recur in a bunch of the songs on the record, it seems.
I just, like, when I'm thinking of lyrics, metaphors are that's all I want to, it just comes out of me. So I've had to I'm trying to get better at not using as many, because it's also a way of coding things and keeping myself protected.
Right,
because
right.
You don't want to say something embarrassing, so.
But
I tried to get, on this record, I used so much effort to try to not do that. But like now when I look at it, there's only, it's still so coded. But I just think writing songs it's like dreaming. And like, I just am a visual, so I get a lot of pictures. And then I just,
Okay.
Anyway, so. I do not try to come up with the images. It just happens.
Yeah. Well, the thing with metaphor is it may be coding, but it's also kind of where the poetry comes in.
Yeah, no, it's otherwise, true. It's just you don't like, want to do it too much because then no one knows what you're talking about. There's like a thin line. Yes. You know what I mean?
But yeah, I don't always want to know what you're talking about.
That's a good point. Yeah. And a lot of times people will think you're saying something totally different. And that's great.
Exactly.
Because they care. If they care to interpret it wrong, at least they care enough
to think about
what it means.
Exactly.
And that's amazing because it connects. And that ultimately, you're just trying to connect in songs. So,
You have some odd friends in these songs. So darkness is a friend in Looking for the Sun. And loneliness is your friend in the song you're going to do next, The Guest.
Oh, I got to switch. Yes, it is.
Oh, do you have to switch?
I do have to switch. Do you mind for one second?
Yeah, go ahead. So does this switch of guitar mean a change of tuning? Is that the...
Yep.
Yeah. So back in standard or is this... Yet? Okay.
Yep.
All right. So the song is called The Guest. And let's hear a live performance. Mary Timoney and the band from the record called Untame the Tiger.
Thank you.
That's called The Guest, music from Mary Timoney and the band in a live performance here in our studio in New York. The album is called Untame the Tiger. And after saying, Mary, how close the band here in the studio is to the one that's on the record, there are a number of tracks in which you have Dave Maddox playing the drums.
Yes.
From Fairport Convention and...
Yep. Many records.
Yeah. I actually bought a record once by a band I had never heard of simply because I saw his name in the credits on the back of the record, a bluegrass band named Hickory Wind.
Oh,
just because Dave Maddox was drumming on it. So
he's a genius, yeah.
Was he, I mean, were you into that whole folk rock scene?
Yes. I mean, I've loved all of those records. And in some weirdly, there was like stuff he played on that I loved and I didn't realize it was him, and then I started realizing it was him, and I'm just a super fan. Yeah.
Well, there's the title track on Tame the Tiger has like a kind of an intro to it that has, for me at least, the sound of that folk rock of the British movement in the 70s.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, was that what you were going for?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. I love all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the album is called Untame the Tiger. It is out now. The band is touring around and sounding great. And Mary, it has been a long time since you were last here. I'm so glad you were able to come back and play some of these new songs for us.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you for bringing Dennis Kane, who co-produced the record and is helping our technical director, Irene Trudell, in the control room with the mix of the live performances today. Karen Havlick, our producer down the hall, shooting video of these live performances. Watch for them on the New Sounds YouTube channel. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with everything we're doing on New Sounds by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up on the website at newsounds.org.